This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You've caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And, you know, last week we were talking about some of the things that were going on in our country, some of the things that were pretty disturbing for conservative Christian families. And, you know, how do you grapple with some of that? How do you maintain your love of country? But, you know, there's a practical aspect to that, too. And a lot of people are starting to ask themselves, should I consume education?
Yeah, you know, our friends out in California, Hal, told me that they're here getting a lot of questions, especially since they passed this new vaccination bill in California that basically says there's no exemptions. It doesn't matter, you know, what reason you don't want a child to get a particular vaccine. You can't even turn down one vaccine. You have to vaccinate your kids in the schools.
That's right.
And so a lot of people are asking about homeschooling, and I think a lot of people have questions about homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they wonder, you know, how do you get started? Where do you, am I qualified? Can I do this? Will my kids be weird? Will I ruin their lives?
Mm-hmm.
Is it legal?
Well, those are all reasonable questions to ask. I mean, if we're going to be good stewards of our, you know, of raising our kids, then we do need to ask these questions and seriously consider, you know, what the possible answers are. But we thought that it might be helpful now in midsummer and going into the late summer if we talked a little bit about making this decision, how to get started homeschooling, how to get a good stable foundation under your feet, if that's a direction you feel led to go. And this will be our first of several, and they're going to show up at different intervals around the rest of the summer. But really, you know, I think back at our decision to homeschool, that was, decades ago now. How long have we been homeschooling?
We've been homeschooling over 21 years.
We're in our third decade. And, yeah, just over 20 years now that we've been homeschooling, and our kids have been homeschooled from the beginning. And we really made that choice before we had children, didn't we?
We sure did. You know, I just was interested in it from the moment I heard about it. I found school incredibly, desperately boring.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that you could live through childhood and not have to endure that was very exciting to me.
Okay.
But, you know, I think that these days it's not as hard for someone to contemplate it because so many people are homeschooling.
That has been a big change in our careers. We've watched what's happened with over that whole period. That when we started, we were right on the heels of the early pioneers. I mean, the people who had really had to hide from their neighbors, the people who had one-on-one debates with their school authorities locally to try to secure their right and their privilege and the freedom to educate their own children.
But that's all in the past.
But that's it. Yeah, it really is. And,
you know, everybody can homeschool now. It's legal in all 50 states.
Yeah.
And it's legal in most countries.
Yeah.
Not all countries.
Yeah, and that's still a battleground in a lot of places. But, you know, in the United States, it has moved to the point where every state recognizes home education under some structure. And, it's not, you're not going to have to go in and take a constitutional stand like they once did.
No, now, you know, in fact, you can go out to hslda.org, Homeschool Legal Defense Association's website.
Yes.
And click on your state and find out exactly what your state law is.
They are such a great resource. You know, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association provided the attorneys that fought a lot of those constitutional battles in state Supreme Courts and even argued before the U.S. Supreme Court in some cases to try to secure the constitutional right for parents to educate their own children, to guide the education and training of their kids, which has been established in many different cases, not just homeschool cases, but cases before that, and HSLDA were the foot soldiers that really made that happen.
Okay, so if it's legal in all 50 states,
mm-hmm.
are they going to ruin their kids?
Yeah. Are my kids going to turn out weird?
Our kids aren't weird.
No, but our kids are individuals.
They are.
And I, you know, this is something which I think is important. Do you really appreciate how much your public school experience squelched you
yeah.
growing up? You know, it's going to impact you. Whatever your school is going to influence you. It's going to have an impact on you. It's going to leave its fingerprints. But I think my experience in the school system, and I grew up in the conservative part of the country. A lot of the really outrageous stuff you read about wasn't happening in our little southern towns at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, the impact of peer groups, the influence of other children on my life, you know, the teasing, the bullying sometimes, the peer expectations of to conform to certain styles or you know certain things, you know, that was really in the long run, I think it squelched my personality
yeah.
and my creativity. And you know what? In my adult life, I think it took decades to overcome that early influence. You know, I think that was one of the things that kept me from setting out as an independent businessman for many years.
Well, there's no doubt that it hurt my confidence level, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just there's such tremendous pressure to conform to the crowd and not lift your head above, you know, the rest of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is a big advantage of homeschooling is that, you know, kids don't get told that the way God made them is wrong. You know, and so they tend to grow up with more individuality, more confidence. And this, you know, that's not true across the board. There are shy homeschool kids and there are outgoing homeschool kids, just like there are shy public school kids and outgoing public school kids.
Right.
You know, your personality and your family's personality has an awful lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the upshot of it is really the best kind of socialization is socialization for the adult world. And you don't get socialized for the adult world in the dog-eat-dog environment of the middle school.
Yeah, I say, okay, so I'm going to prepare my young person to interact with the grown-up world by sitting them in a room with 25 fourth graders just like themselves. And,
yeah.
and hopefully somehow they'll pick it up that this is the way you interact with people older than you and people younger than you and people who are different than you. They're supposed to get that from a very conformist kind of environment. I don't think so.
No.
I mean, that's an important thing, you know, because it ties into a question that people still ask. Now, people don't usually ask, is it legal anymore? Because so many people do it. I think the message is out there.
Everybody knows somebody who's homeschooled.
But, you know, they still ask, what about socialization?
And, yeah, the answer is, what are you raising to be? Are you raising to be adults? Are you raising them to be kids? And if you raise them to be adults, then I think they're better socialized in the adult environment of homeschooling where they're with their parents when they're out visiting the town office to appeal your property taxes
mm-hmm.
or talking to the neighbor when he's upset that your dog is barking.
Yeah.
You know, they're interacting with the adult world in a much more natural way. Now, but there's another question here.
Mm-hmm.
What about work and school? You know, are they going to be able to get into college? That's something dads always ask him, usually when they have 3-year-olds.
Yeah, sometimes at first we kind of laughed about it because we would do these beginning homeschooling sessions and fathers would come up to us and say, well, you know, I'm really concerned or is my son or daughter going to be able to get into college? And, we talk with them and say, well, how old is your son or daughter? And they say, 3. I said, really, 3? And he's worried about college. But you know what? Long range, yeah, you want to look to the future and say, what's going to be the outcome if we start down this path?
Right.
And I can tell you the answer from our own family's experience, the experience of lots of people we know, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
You know what? That homeschoolers not only are able to get into college, but colleges are drawing them in. They're inviting them in. They're encouraging them because they find that homeschool students, you know, first off, they tend to be good students. They've learned how to learn. They learned how they love learning still. They tend to be curious. And so, you know, they make good college student material, but they found that on the social scale that home educated students, by and large, know how to get along with different people. that they don't require everybody to be just like them or else they're foreign to them, but rather to say, hey, the world is full of a diverse crowd of different people, and I'm used to that because even in my homeschool group, people came from all kinds of backgrounds. They were going all sorts of different pathways, and we learned to respect each other there. And I get to a big college campus, and guess what? People are in different majors. They have different lifestyles. They have different things they do. And so what? I can interact with all of them, be comfortable.
In fact, many of the colleges we visited have an admissions officer that's particularly tasked for recruiting homeschoolers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really haven't had a problem at all, and we've graduated 3 children who've gone to college.
They've all gotten in on scholarships.
They've all gotten academic financial aid. And so, it's not going to keep your kids from going to college. It's not going to keep them from getting a job or starting a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know many homeschoolers have done all those things, run for office, started businesses.
Oh, yeah.
You know, work for other people. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. You know, all those things that you might have heard rumors about are way in the past. Homeschooling has proven itself. There are other questions, too, though. Is this something I can do?
Am I able to teach? You know, could I be a teacher? You know what? I think it's important to recognize something, that being a teacher of other people's kids, being dropped in at the age of 22 with a teaching degree, and you're supposed to manage, you know, 15 or 20 unrelated fifth graders who are all soaked in hormones and are goofballs, and, you know, you've got to earn their respect. That's a different task than teaching the children that you are raising yourself. That it's a very different task being a, if you will, a professional classroom teacher or being the one-on-one teacher of your own child. It's a much easier thing.
But, you know, I hear parents say all the time, I just don't have the patience. You know, you do what you have to do. It's a great way to grow patience. And there are days I feel like jerking myself bald-headed. There's days I feel like jerking them bald-headed.
Okay.
But you sit down, you calm down, you say, yeah, let's take a break, everybody. And you go do something else, even if that's watch cartoons for a while, or get up and run around outside, or get a breath of air, or go on a field trip, or just go to the grocery store. Sometimes I have to stop, start over, get past it. Yeah, there are going to be frustrating days, but, you know, isn't that true of every job? Now, you've worked several different jobs in different fields. Yeah. Didn't you have days you hated your job?
And there were days that you said, please make that clock run faster. Yeah, absolutely right. And, you know, again, home education is not like a classroom education because, you know, so much of what happens in the classroom is about crowd management.
Yeah.
How do you deal with all of these young people who have different needs and different levels of attention and different levels of self-discipline versus I have one child that age, and I've known this child since he was born. You know, I have trained up this child since she was brand new in our arms. And so you already have a long-term relationship, and you have, you know, it's a very different thing.
How potty training a child is way harder than teaching them to read.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can teach a child to potty train, you can teach them how to read. I mean, if you can read, I assume.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, that when you are teaching your own child especially, it's not required that you be a PhD in the field. You don't have to have a teacher certification. All you have to have is the ability, either you've learned this yourself at some time in the past, or you can learn it ahead of the student.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking of a few things that we did. Now, you know, we had, you know, some really good technical, you know, college degrees, and so we had some confidence going into certain subjects. But, you know, there were other subjects like some of the foreign languages that we all learned together as a family.
Well, you know, you can get help. That's the thing. There's so much available that you can get help. There, you can get a tutor.
Right.
You can join a co-op.
Mm-hmm.
You can get teaching DVDs. You can get online courses. You can get video courses. There's all kinds of help you can get. You know, it's not like you're going to have to, you know, come up with it all out of your own mind. There's so many curricula that just basically tell you exactly what to say.
Guess what? That's how a lot of classroom material is presented to.
It sure is.
You know? In fact, there's whole schools of thought that talk about, I forget what the term was, but there's a technical term for basically a strongly scripted classroom presentation with the idea that, well, anybody can read the script and every student will get the same high level of instruction. At least that's the theory.
Well, yeah, well, not so much, but anyway.
Well, what does that say? That says, you know what, if there's a subject that you really just have to kind of read the book and learn it with the student, you're not doing anything different than is happening in the classrooms in some cases.
That's
so
right.
So don't worry about it.
No, you can get whatever you need. If you need help teaching a particular subject, there's help out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of different curricula on all different financial levels. You know, I hear people say, will I be able to afford to homeschool? But, you know, what we found is one of the best phonics review programs out there, in my opinion, costs less than $20 a year for what you need for a year's worth of instruction. You know, and there are other programs that cost hundreds. You can decide what fits your budget. You can decide what fits your teaching style. You don't have to make a certain amount of money or to be a super patient person or to be super mom to do this.
You know what? I'm looking at the clock, and it looks like it's time to take a short break here and talk about a couple of other things, and then we'll come back to the subject. You know, one thing we do need to mention is that coming up this weekend in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, actually in the town of Matthews, which is right clustered up there on the Beltline in Charlotte, at Christ Covenant Church, there's going to be a book fair and conference sponsored by the HEMPS Support Group. That's going to be July 10th and 11th, 2015, if you're listening on the recording. And we are going to be speaking there. There's a lot of getting started material there. There's a very manageable size of a book fair. It's not going to overwhelm you because you've got 400 vendors to go to. It's a small, kind of intimate event. And if you're in the Charlotte area and you've got questions, you ought to check this out. That's going to be at Christ Covenant Church, Friday and Saturday, July 10th and 11th, 2015. We're going to be there. And then, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the Teach Them Diligently conference is going to be at downtown Sheraton. That is going to be the following weekend, which will be the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the 16th, 17th, and 18th of 2015. That's an entirely different experience. It'll be a great experience, whether you're a newbie or whether you're a veteran. And we're going to be speaking several times at that event as well.
And we are coming up on next month. We're going to be starting a new series of Bootcamp 9 to 12, which is one of the most popular things we do. It's a webinar series for parents of preteens.
Yeah, now if you go out to our website and you look up Bootcamp, okay, don't be distracted. Some people will write and say, where do I send my kid?
This is not
for your kids. This is for you. This is for the parent to encourage you, to equip you to be a better, wiser, stronger, and faster parent, you know, to be able to manage and understand all those things that go into your preteen. And so that's a great series, and we have had literally hundreds and hundreds of families that have gone through that, some of them multiple times.
And we meet them all over the country.
Oh, it's cool.
It's really fun. And we've had people join us from all over the world for that. You know, Turkey, China, all over the place.
Guess
Indonesia.
What? Everybody has preteens.
Yeah, and preteenagers are hard.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get back to this.
All right, so
it's legal in all 50 states and most countries.
It's legal. The socialization question works fine.
Yes, socialization is fine. They're going to be able to get into college and get a job.
That's right.
You don't have to be the queen of patience or super mom to do this.
And you don't have to be an Oxford-educated scholar to do it either.
No, and you don't have to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to. In fact, we know quite a few homeschool families that the mother works as well as the father, oftentimes from home. You know, I work in our family ministry business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a speaker and writer.
I know moms who are writers, artists, accountants,
bloggers,
or work part-time with their church or do other things.
Virtual assistants.
Right. But they still have the time. You know, the time is an issue.
Yeah.
Because, again, we think of school, we think of getting on the bus at 7 in the morning, they get off the bus at 4 in the afternoon, and it's all day long. No, it's not. You know what? Most homeschoolers can do most of their work before lunchtime, just in the 4 hours between breakfast and lunch. Most families find that they can get the majority of their schoolwork done.
Well, the part that needs mom anyway.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that you don't have to have a 10-hour block to do this.
No.
But you do have to have, depending on the age of your child, a couple of hours if they're like second grade and under.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3, 4, 5 hours as they get older and need more attention, then it works back down as they get into high school.
It's kind of
less.
You know, it's funny because a lot of times.
Preteens need the most.
It's funny because a lot of times people are worried about high school. They think, oh, how am I going to teach high school? But honest to goodness, by the time you've trained them up and gotten to that point, a lot they're doing a lot of work on their own. The time that requires more of your hands-on time is the time that nearly everybody can manage, and that's teaching a child to read, teaching them basic arithmetic, teaching them the basics of science and history and the world around them. That's the stuff that you remember from your time when you were 6, 7, 8 years old. It's not something that's going to tax your intellect or your academic ability.
And hell, I've got to admit, I have a degree in the hard sciences, so I was still worried. But you can buy curricula that tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that hard. You open the teacher's book, and it tells you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've done that with your first child, it'll be easy as pie with your second. And, yeah, there's going to you're going to hit glitches. You're going to hit bumps in the road, but you've got a lot of time. You know, if you do kindergarten, you've got 13 years to get into that child's head, everything they need to get into. And you don't have to worry about collecting the lunch money or taking roll or dealing with the disruptions from the kid who won't obey that isn't your kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got a lot more flexibility than you do when they're in a situation where you've got to get 30 kids through this amount of material this year or else, because they're never going to be exposed to it again.
Yep.
If my children don't get it this year, we'd study it again next year until they do get it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think there's as much to worry about as I had feared, that's for sure.
Okay.
You know, because I think one of the most important things is we can preserve their love of learning. We can do field trips and do projects and read interesting books. And yeah, the thing is, once you give your child the solid basics, reading, writing, math, and the love of learning, I mean, they take off so much on their own that our kids have learned so much that I didn't teach them.
You know, an interesting thing, it was several years ago, the federal government came out with a program called No Child Left Behind. But you know what? When you are homeschooling, we've been doing that for decades.
Yeah.
That, you know, when you teach your own child, you can tell, does this little girl get it or not?
Yeah.
If she gets it, you can go on to the next thing. If she doesn't get it, you try explaining it a different way.
Right.
It's so cool when you're doing one-on-one education like that, that truly no child is left behind and no child is sitting around waiting either. You know, that you can go ahead, and if they're ready to move on, you can move on. And you know, we're going to talk some about it in the weeks ahead. We're going to talk some about what can you realistically do with an early homeschooler. If you've got a toddler and you just can't wait to try to do something, or you've got a kindergartner, what can you realistically do? But, you know, I think the important point is that every child's needs and every child's gifts can be met, can be built on. And that is so cool. You know, one of our sons had the privilege to go to Oxford University for part of his college time, and he called us back from there and said, you know, this is so cool. It's like homeschooling at the college level. Oh, well, how does that? He said, because we don't sit in great big lecture halls with 200 other freshmen. You know, we go and we meet with the professor, with the tutor, and we discuss things one-on-one, or maybe there's four of us in his office, but it's not this great big meat grinder, sausage factory kind of experience like you might see in a big state college here. And it was so cool to see him just blossoming in that academic environment and realize that, okay, we do the same thing that Oxford University does, except we do it for our elementary school.
Yeah, you know, so the professor would meet with him, and then he'd send them to research things in the library and write on their own over the next couple of weeks and then come back. That's the kind of thing we do at homeschooling high school, you're right. Before we go, Hal, we ought to talk, though, about the biggest advantage of homeschooling, the absolute biggest, and the one that I wouldn't trade for anything.
And you know what? It has nothing to do with reading and writing and arithmetic.
That's right.
Not a bit of it.
And reading, writing, and arithmetic is important. Be faithful. Teach your children. But
what you're really doing when you take responsibility to teach your kids, is you are regaining hours and hours and hours of their lives every single week that you are able to disciple, that you are able to live with that young person, to answer their questions, to deal with their needs. And it's not all academic by any means, is it? You know, raising a child is a lot of work, and the school is just a little tiny part of it, but it takes so many hours, and it is necessary, that why would we give those hours to somebody else to mold and shape and to instruct and to fill up when we could be filling them ourselves with the truth that we've received, with the wisdom that God's given to us, and see that young disciple building up to know and to love the Lord?
Well, the relationship that you're able to build as a family is just so much deeper and more, I don't know, I look at our relationships and our adult kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have so much, it was a couple of decades before I got a relationship that enjoyable and pleasant with my mother, and I have a fantastic mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a great job raising me, but you know, we just didn't see much of each other when I was growing up.
No, and when every day since you were 6 years old involved separating and going off, you know, totally apart from your family, totally out into the world.
And, you know, my family was a lot more involved in my life than most people's because we had a family business.
Right.
And I went from school to the business with my parents. And yet, you know, I look at our relationship with our adult children and I feel like, you know, they're our best friends. You know,
mm-hmm.
We thoroughly enjoy their company. We have a great relationship, and they have a great relationship together. And we have the freedom to teach them truth. And like we've talked about on the show before, relationship and truth is how you disciple people.
And you know what? When you see your 13-year-old struggling with her faith, when you see your 12-year-old who's questioning, you know, just who am I?
Yeah.
You know, what does this mean? You know what? Those questions are going to happen. That's part of human growth, and they're going to happen in between classes in local consolidated high school, or it's going to happen in health class when they're in the middle school environment, or they can happen right there in your home when you're there, when you have regained that 30 or 40 hours a week that they'd be spending off doing something institutional, but instead you bring them home. You do all the educational stuff. You do the academic stuff, and guess what? You can probably do it better than they're going to get on the average. In a whole lot less time. But when those questions arise, when those teachable moments come up,
You're there.
And, oh, what an opportunity that is.
Yeah, you can discuss things. You can work things through. You know, you can deal with problems with discipline problems and attitude problems while they're small before they get to be big.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest advantage of homeschooling is that we're able to disciple our kids. We have that. We're there with them. We have the freedom. We have the time. And for us, that's been a huge blessing to see the effect that's had in their lives as adults.
That's an important thing because I know as we've looked at it, the Bible doesn't say a great deal about school. It doesn't say a whole lot about academics, but it says reams about discipleship.
And I love academics, Hal.
Sure.
I love books. I love learning. I love academics. But you know what? I love even more to see my children walking with God when I can't make them.
That is so true. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a good place to start wrapping up, I think, because that really, for us, that we found that the reason that you start homeschooling often is overwhelmed by the reasons you continue. Once you get started, you'll discover so many things to say, why did I ever not decide to do this? Why did I ever question whether this was even advisable? This is great. This is fantastic. What opportunities I might have missed if I hadn't made this decision.
And so if you're wondering, should I homeschool next year? Give it a try.
You ought to try it. Give it a year.
Give it a full year. And let's talk about that next week.
That would be a good thing. All right.
Next week we're going to talk about how do you get started? What do you do? Where do you start? Who do you contact? Where do you get the books? We're going to talk about how do you get started homeschooling next week on Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
And so we do appreciate you joining us and hope you'll join us again next week as we take biblical truth into the 21st century family.
Hi, y'all.
Bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.